Good morning and welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. Today is Monday, April 19th, 2021, and I'm Brian Chaffin, guest hosting for Kelly Goumont, who is out today. And joining me is Charlotte Henry. Charlotte, how are you?
Hello, hello. Happy Monday, yes.
Happy Monday.
I was surprising. I was here, I was ready for the show, and then you weren't Kelly.
I know. Who am I?
No idea. Never met you before.
No. Let's see here. We do have something to talk about. It's a little story from last week, I believe.
Yeah, at the end of last week, a letter emerged from Apple Music, and it sort of came out in the Wall Street Journal, which is, according to Apple Music, outlined how much they pay artists per stream of a song, and it's apparently a penny per stream. I'm assuming that in your American English is a cent, so a penny a song, a penny a stream, and that quite noticeably is at about three times more than what Spotify offers.
Really? Three times more?
That kind of vibe. So according to Spotify's own data, on average it pays about one third to half a penny per stream.
Okay, one third to a half a penny. So it's not quite 3x.
It's
as much as 3x and exactly. As little as 2x, which is exactly a lot more.
Which is, for a lot of artists, quite a significant difference. We know the Spotify data because they have a report out and a kind of whole webpage dedicated to this information, which is called Loud and Clear. It's quite interesting to dig into. So the easy thing for us to do on this show would just to be do Spotify bad, Apple Music good.
Yeah.
And I think there is an element of that to this story. But we need to put a little bit of context in it. And the most important context is the number of people using each service. So Spotify has around 155 million users, whereas Apple Music is approximately 60 million. So as a whole, Spotify is probably putting more money into the musical pockets of artists and into the music ecosystem than Apple Music is, just because of the number of people using the service.
Listen, I'm not willing to call Spotify the bad guy here, but I don't like that reasoning.
No,
either.
And there's another element to this as well. I read a bit of research from Ender's Analysis, and they talk about Spotify giving a long tail to largely amateur acts and makes it easy to discover them,
which is good.
Which is good, but it describes the payouts as anemic. Less good.
Right. Right.
Which I think is a fair summary of the situation, actually.
The thing is, you threw a couple other stats in your piece from Spotify, and we do have more transparency from Spotify on this.
Shock.
Than we do from Apple, right? Exactly. That is rather.
You mean Apple hasn't given us granular data about who is using their service in what way?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm shocked. I'm very surprised.
It is rather astounding. So 5% of artists generate annual industry royalties above $1,000 on Spotify. I'm quoting Charlotte Henry.
Yeah. Yes.
And 0.02% are generating more than $1 million. And that, yeah. I don't know how that's probably not all that materially different than before streaming. I mean, the music business has always been concentrated, way at the top.
Sure, there's a few big artists that make a lot of money and the rest of people are playing gigs in clubs and trying to sell a few CDs at the end of it.
Right. And there really isn't a vast middle ground. I mean, maybe if you're lucky, you're supporting a headlining act and selling more than a few CDs.
You're a high profile or well regarded session musician or something.
Right. But like, I mean, getting back to this idea that Spotify is contributing more to the overall ecosystem, that may be the case, but they're also bringing in more with those extra
subscribers. Sure, because they've got over twice the number of users. Yeah, not everyone in that 155 million is paying for the service.
That's a fair point.
But they obviously, if you're not paying for it directly, you get adverts. So you're still generating money for Spotify.
Yeah, some money. But I think that what this data really shows to me is that the world of streaming, this is a point I've been making for years, that the world of streaming music is a loss leader business. I mean, you know, Spotify, the whole time has been like, you know, we lose money on every customer and we're going to make it up in volume. And they don't make money. And lo and behold, they don't have a lot of money to pay out to artists either. Apple doesn't need Apple Music to make money.
Needs the device you're listening to Apple Music on to make it money.
Right. And Google does not need its streaming service to make a profit. And Amazon does not need its streaming service to make a profit. Now, I'm not necessarily saying that this is good, that I want music concentrated in the hands of big tech. But the reality is that you know, we're seeing this in the numbers, that Spotify doesn't make any money and that it's managing to end up paying out less even while not making a profit in the first place.
Right.
And I
also think that there is a values thing here that we shouldn't just completely dismiss. And I think that's what you're kind of driving at as well.
Go ahead.
That, well, I think it would be fair to say that music is important to Apple in lots of different ways, right? It always has been. The iPod, iTunes. Music is, we know that Steve Jobs was a passionate music lover.
Like, yes.
Music is something that is embedded within Apple, I think. And yes. The letter makes, the letter says, we believe it is important to share our values. And so I think there is, I can be perfectly cynical about the $2 trillion company being nice to people. Apple is not a charity, but I do think there is a fundamental thing within Apple that they believe in putting money into the creative ecosystem, and music is important to Apple as a whole. I've said this in the conversation with Kelly discussing Apple Music Radio. I think that stands as well when it comes to how much they pay artists on Apple Music. I think as a point of principle, it matters to Apple. We've seen them put a lot of money into film and television. I think in part because that's the way you get the top film and television people, but also because it's another way of putting money into the creative ecosystem and hopefully eventually getting it back in device sales and subscribers.
Well, and you know, Apple has said, Phil Schiller has said, that Apple wants to be at the center of where people live their lives.
Right, exactly. Bingo.
And that includes listening to music, and that includes TV and movie content. And you know, and when Apple got into streaming music, there was this wholesale plunge in revenues in the music industry, and in part
for musicians,
for musicians and the labels,
right.
And Apple Music, to a large extent, propped up the existing label system. And
there's stories, aren't there, of Steve Jobs getting a load of label executives around when they launched iTunes and was like, people are stealing your stuff. Let me find a way. I've got a way for people to pay you for your stuff.
Right, but even that, correct. And the music industry was furious at Apple for saving them. Right, the music industry. This is another thing I've been going on about for years. The music industry was just incredibly angry that Apple saved them, because in the process of saving them, Apple took over the customer experience.
And right. Yeah. Yeah.
The labels and the industry lost control over the relationship between the customer and the music, and Apple now had that relationship, and the music industry was angry about it, and then the TV and film industry was bound and determined to make sure that Apple didn't save them.
So they let Netflix save them instead.
They did let Netflix save them instead. Yes. And you know, and of course, the music and TV industry has undergone a fairly radical shift away from the cable model since then, and things are going in really interesting directions there, including with Apple. But when you get back down to music, again, we're looking at the fact that Apple propped up falling digital download revenues by getting people to pay on a monthly basis. I know that I am paying a lot more annually for music right now than I was before Apple Music.
Really? I think I'm paying less.
But
I also basically always bought music in hardware form.
I did too. I didn't buy a whole lot.
This is why I'm slightly surprised.
But I wasn't buying that many albums. Surprised. I wasn't because you know, as people get older, they tend to buy less new music. They tend to be less interested in new music, and we do have a slight age gap between us. And
yeah, although you're a very passionate music fan. Anyway,
I am, and yet I wasn't buying that many new albums in the years before Apple Music. There was certainly a time when I did, and maybe that only goes back 10 years ago. But I think that a lot of people were seeing a lot of the labels were seeing their revenues decrease again, and Apple Music definitely brought some more consistent revenues, and we see that Apple is paying apparently more of its revenues to the label. But then also remember that like, not only does Apple not need to make a profit, they're also not having to pay a percentage to themselves on the App Store.
Yes.
And Spotify is. This is, you know, goes back to that beef that Spotify has with Apple about.
Yes, and it's one of the companies who's very, very, for the reasons you've outlined, against the App Store model, furious about the 30% it has to pay. Tried to find ways to get around it.
Right. Yeah, completely disregarding the value that Apple is bringing to them by providing the App Store in the first place. That, I mean, you know, I get torn there. I don't like Apple having an unfair advantage, but the reality is that Apple does have an unfair advantage. This is a reality. And to me, this story that you covered shows once again that the streaming business is at this point a business for companies who don't need to make money from it.
Don't need to make money directly from it. And right. Obviously Apple is, I'll be interested to follow this in 6 months and a year, because is the Apple One bundle, are those things going to encourage Apple to keep this level or even increase it and get more subscriber numbers? Or is that actually, this is going to stay pretty flat for a while, and Apple has kind of made its land, you know, offered its price, made its point, and we're not going to hear much about this for a while.
You know what's going to sell more Apple One subscriptions? That's going to be more great TV content.
That's probably true, yeah.
That's what's going to get Apple One sales. I mean, unless Fitness Plus becomes like the must do for everyone, it's going to be new TV content that drives Apple One subscription rates.
you would assume so, and then eventually asking people to pay for Apple TV Plus. I assume that is right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, but does that then turn into people going, well, I've got Apple TV Plus, and I don't need to pay X amount for my Apple One bundle plus for Spotify because I've got music here and it's all the same music and it works on all my different devices. Mm-hmm. So shall I cancel my Spotify subscription and just use Apple Music instead?
Yeah, I think Spotify. I think that Spotify is going to continue to lose Apple customers to Apple Music, probably, unless they can keep ahead of Apple in terms of experience and or features.
Yeah, I definitely covered something. I'm trying to dig it up while you were saying that kind of looked at the projections, and Apple Music, if I remember, was flat and Spotify was zooming upwards in large part because of the new and original podcasts that were coming to it.
Hmm. That's a fair point.
But I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I think it may turn out that projection was wrong and that the Apple One bundle, Apple devices, the whole thing draws more people into Apple Music. But I've not seen anyone seeing that, like any analysts or anything saying that yet.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that can't change, because of course it can.
Right.
And Apple, you know, Apple Music might start offering more things that people want.
That is very true. I expect Apple to continue to do that. I still feel like I don't understand why they don't advertise Beats One more.
Because Beats One doesn't exist anymore.
What's it called? Apple One?
Apple Music One, yeah.
Apple Music One. Thank you. And I don't understand why Apple doesn't promote Apple Music One more.
Yeah, this is one of my pet peeves. I've mentioned this with Kelly a few times, where we're just like, Apple has a really good music streaming ecosystem, whether it's the radio, which is what you're talking about, and I agree with you, is grossly underpromoted. It now has its own version of kind of MTV, and plus the streaming service we've been talking about on this show. And I entirely agree with you that it seems across the board Apple doesn't, for some reason, doesn't promote its music offering.
Yeah.
As much as it could.
And the thing about Apple Music One to me is that discovery is hard. It's hard to find new music that you like. Just as it's hard to find new books that you like, and just as it's hard, it's less hard to find new TV shows, I think. But it is hard to find new music that you like, and Apple Music One, that is the role that radio served for decades, and radio is very good at that, even though radio also has its problems because you've got, you know, concentrate. It's not perfect, but Apple Music One is great, and they put a lot of effort into it, and they probably put a lot of money into it, and they don't promote it much.
I mean, if you look at some of the presenters on the show, they definitely did put a lot of money on it.
Yeah, sure.
Those people are not leaving the kind of places they have left. I mean, I know this from the UK. They've a lot of people from the BBC, BBC Radio 1, which is the kind of premier music radio station in the country, regarded in many ways as that, has lost a lot of people to Apple Music.
Sure.
I'm sure, you know, these are all very talented people who obviously like the idea of what having the power of a company like Apple behind you can do, but and there's also
the money in their pockets.
The money, right.
Right.
And I think to your point about how Apple Music is a source of discovery, I think that's particularly true of Apple Music, not just radio in general, because Apple Music One promotes itself around this idea of finding new music. It has shows called New Music Daily. It's a really big focus of the whole infrastructure.
Yeah, get it in front of more people, Apple. Just, you know.
I've never understood it. I agree with you entirely.
All right, but we are out of time, Charlotte. That is, in fact, going to do it for us today. If you have any questions or feedback, please send us a note at observations@macobserver.com. TMO Daily on Twitter or by leaving comments on the show notes. Charlotte, thanks for joining me today. Sure appreciate it.
Thanks. Thanks for having me. And if you want to listen to more conversations like this, check out the Media Plus podcast as well, which I host.
Good idea. That's good stuff over there.
So yeah, sometimes I even let you on. It's fun.